Good morning. Man, I'm glad to see you here. I've got a question for you. Can you recall the first time you remember being scared? Think back at your childhood. Some of you might have a traumatic event here. Sorry about that. But can you recall the first time you remember being scared? I don't know if it's the first time I remember being scared, but I remember as a young child being really scared, and I thought you'd enjoy this story. So one Saturday morning, my brother, my dad, and I went duck hunting. I grew up in Oklahoma, and we did a lot of hunting. And so I would beg and beg and beg to go. I was way too young to go, but I would beg my dad to go. And so he let me go on this trip. And so my dad had a gun. My brother had a gun. It was a junior, like pump. And they would let me take my Red Ryder BB gun and act like I was a true hunter, right? So we went, and we did not grow up as sophisticated hunters. We grew up more like rednecks, and so we went duck hunting. So when we went, we didn't have like decoys and calls and all that sort of stuff. We would just drive. We knew a lot of the farmers, a lot of the land around us. We would just drive until we saw a bunch of ducks on a pond. We'd jump fence, go jump on the jump and scare all the birds off the pond, shoot them, and we would move along. So one morning we're driving, and we come up to this pond, and we walk in, and we kind of peek over the dam. And to this day, I have never seen more ducks on water, ever. So we're sitting there, we're looking over, and there's all these ducks. And my dad says, I got a plan. So we kind of scurry back down the dam, and we're sitting there. He goes, boys, you stay here, and I'm going to walk all the way around over here, and I'm going to scare the ducks, and they're going to fly over you guys. And Brent, you're going to get them with your Red Ryder BB gun. All right. So I thought I was in the action, man. I thought it was awesome. So we sit down. It's all cool. We sit down. It's a cool morning, and we're sitting there. We're waiting, and we knew it was going to take, because he's going to have to sneak all the way around, because it was a pretty exposed part of the pond. So we're sitting there. Everything is perfectly fine. And then all of a sudden, things got a little bit more interesting, because I was 6 years old and the cows started to be attracted to us. And so I'm sitting there and I notice these cows are starting to move closer. And I was like, And I'm assuming they thought we were there to feed them. So they keep coming closer and closer. And I'm like, Corey, the cows are coming. In which an older brother is like, shut up. Yeah, can punch me. And so then the cows get a little closer. I'm like, Corey, the cows are coming. He goes, I've got a gun. And I'm like, okay, but the cows are getting closer. And the cows kept getting closer and closer and closer. And I don't know when it happened or what happened, but I lost my mind. I jumped up. I took off running for my dad. And I wanted my dad, because I had some cows that were like apparently going to kill me. And I'm running to my dad. And of course, on my run to my dad, the ducks fly. They're gone. And to this day, I've not lived that moment down in the history of my family. Because I was scared. All of a sudden, their cows came and I was scared. And you're like, Brent, they're cows. Here's the crazy part. Are you ready? I grew up in the country. There was never a day of my childhood that there was not a cow within 100 yards of where I was at. Ever. If you walked out where my house, I promise you there was a fence maybe 75 yards from it. And right there were cows my whole life. So what happened? Why was I scared of these cows? Here's the reason. The fence got removed. I would go every day. We would go out. We played right by where the cows were. I would call the cows over. I would feed them. I would pet them. I would do all sorts of stuff. But all of a sudden, you removed that fence. And I'm like, there's a 1,500-pound tooth-filled cow that will eat me just because the cow's gone, just because the fence is gone. And it's really a funny story, but I still remember how scared I was of that stupid cow. But here's the thing. That's a silly story. But in our lives, there are moments when gates or fences get removed from our lives, and all of a sudden we get a little nervous. It happens in moments. I can remember moments like when I would struggle with being afraid, like, am I going to pass this test? Am I going to get into the school that I want to get into? Should I make that decision? Will she say yes? Oh, there's just moments of my life that have been riddled with, oh, I don't know what to do. They're kind of cow moments. But then there's even more than that. If in my life, fear comes. I don't know if it does in yours. I think it does. I think about moments where there was some really, not just moments of fear where I was making a decision, but there's also deep-seated fear. I think of when I began to get really serious with my wife. I had a level of insecurity and fear to get over because I was scared to death to be a husband and a father. Because I didn't have, there was moments where my dad was incredible, but there were some moments I didn't have a great example in front of me. And I was scared to death that I was gonna blow it. I was like, man, I don't wanna be a horrible husband. I don't wanna be a horrible father. I don't wanna blow this. It was fear. I remember even now, right? This isn't crippling, but just being honest, am I gonna fail as a pastor? Am I gonna blow it? I mean, you know guys do that, right? They write newspaper articles about him. They talk about him on Twitter. Am I gonna fail as a pastor? That's just me. What about you? I bet there's moments in your life where you've really struggled with fear. Or maybe the fence was removed and a decision had to be made. And you're like, man, I've been around this, but now I've got to make a decision. I'm not sure what to do. Am I going to be able to find friends at school? Am I going to go to the right school? Pick the right major? What about the roommate? Should I roommate with them? Should I roommate with them? Should I get married? Do I even want to be married? What about kids? What about, oh my gosh, there's a promotion. Should we move our family? There's all these moments that are riddled with fear. But even more than that, in your lives, I bet there's some deep-seated fear. It usually rotates around a couple of thoughts. Number one is the fear of failure. Am I gonna blow it? Maybe in your job, maybe in a relationship, maybe responsibility you've been given, but man, am I gonna, I don't wanna blow it. What about the fear of being accepted? Some of you, many of you are new to Ankeny. A lot of the new people that come to our church are new. Am I gonna be accepted in this town? I'm gonna be accepted at DMAC, some of your new DMAC students. Or even maybe it's just the fear of the unknown. You get in a period of life and you don't know what's next, you're not sure what's gonna happen, and it just causes fear. Here's what I know. I don't care who you are, somewhere, either it's a moment or a deep-seated fear, I bet you have struggled with a moment of being overwhelmed. And we can laugh at the silly cow story, but whatever story that is emerging in your life right now, as you think about it, you're like, man, that really does paralyze me. So how do you deal with this? I wanna introduce you to a book. It's my favorite book, one of my favorite books in the Bible. It depends on the season, but I have, over the life of my life, I've read this book so many times. The book of Joshua. And I think the book of Joshua is gonna be helpful. Specifically, I think a guy named Joshua is gonna be helpful for us this morning. And there's 9 verses at the beginning of this book that if you've ever been like, man, I'm scared of that. I'm not sure what to do. Where am I supposed to go? You get paralyzed. I think it's gonna be really encouraging to you. So let's start with Joshua chapter 1. Hopefully you got your free Bible. Do you like your free Bibles? Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. I really, really believe you're gonna love the CSB. Here's what you need to know right now. I'm tripping all over myself because I have most of this section memorized. And so instead of reading it, I'm trying to quote it and I just sound really like I'm from kindergarten trying to read and it's bad, but I'll try. All right, after the death of Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. So I wanna give you, these first 2 verses are gonna start us to give a really good overview of this book. So we're gonna start with the book of Joshua. I wanna give you a little bit of pictures of where we're at, why this book is happening. So this is the 6th book in the Old Testament. The first 5 books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the Bible students may know that that's often referred to as the Pentateuch. Penta meaning 5. It was the law, the 5 books of the law. And so the first 5 books Moses wrote, and here's kind of the story that emerges from that. Genesis, God creates all humanity, creates the world. And in chapter 12, he comes and says, hey, Abraham, you, I want something with you. I want to create a covenant with you because I want to create my people who will follow me and I will be in relationship with. And part of that covenant was that not only do I want you to be my people, I want you to be my people in this land. He wanted a specific area for them to be in. And then in Exodus, as you roll forward, what we find out is the people of God are not in that land. They're actually slaves in Egypt. And God doesn't like it. And so God raises up this guy named Moses to go into Egypt and get the people out. And they come through the Red Sea. There's all these stories of them wandering in the desert. Many of you have seen either Charlton Heston or Prince of Egypt, depending on how old you are. And then you come through that section. And Exodus, he gives the law. And then you look at beyond that, and Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are three books that kind of retell that story in different areas and talks about the wanderings in the desert, but they also give all the laws that the people of God are supposed to follow. And here's what we see in Joshua. They had wandered in Exodus for many years because they had disobeyed God. And so finally in Joshua, they're going to go into the promised land. And this is interesting. This is a big theme in the book of Joshua, because what we've seen is that God made a promise all the way back at Abraham, and that all these many years later, they're finally going to step into this promise. And so this reality of here's God, and here's the responsibility of the Israelites to walk into there, and they're going to be learning to live in the promise. Right? Living in the promise. So that's where we're at in the book of Joshua. They're about to take off. In this book, this person, Joshua, you need to know a little bit of his backstory. It'll help you. Joshua was born in Egypt while they were in slavery in Egypt. He saw all the events of the Exodus. He would have seen all the plagues. He came out, would have seen the Red Sea part. He would have seen all of that reality. In fact, in the midst, when they were in the desert, he was a commander of one of the armies when there was a big battle that erupted. And he was Moses' servant. Did you know that when Moses was on the top of Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, Joshua had climbed halfway up the mountain with him and was there with him because he was always near Moses. And then at the very end of Deuteronomy, when Moses is about to die, he says, the person who's supposed to follow me, my predecessor, is Joshua. And so Joshua is no small potatoes in the Old Testament. He's kind of a big deal. In fact, if there was a Mount Rushmore for this period of the Bible, his face would definitely be on it. He's kind of a big deal. But what we see as we begin to open the book of Joshua is Moses had died, and Moses was the hero. It's kind of like George Washington had died for our country. And Joshua had been through a lot. And so you would have assumed Joshua, Moses had said, hey, he's my predecessor. So Joshua would have stepped right in there, was really good. But what we see is that he was actually a little nervous to take the job. It's almost like the fence had been removed. He'd been around it his whole life. And all of a sudden, Moses was gone. His covering was gone. And Joshua is sitting there going, ugh, I'm not sure I can do that. And in the midst of this, God speaks some incredible words to him. And so the verse 3 is where we begin to see where God kind of reminds him of the promise. So this is Joshua 1:3. And it says this: I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads. Just as I promised Moses, your territory will be from the wilderness. Wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites and to the west of the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave or abandon you. And so in the midst of this, in the midst of, you see that Joshua's a little nervous and God is encouraging him. God begins with this promise. Hey, Joshua, you're supposed to take this over. You're supposed to run with it. But here's the promise. The promise is he reminds him of the land or the territory that he had promised. He had made this promise all the way back to Abraham in Genesis 15. Let me read it to you. This is Genesis 15. On the day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, I give this land to your offspring, and from the brook of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates River. And later on, a reminder of this promise was in Deuteronomy 34:4. And there's other places all throughout the Pentateuch we see this. The Lord then said to him, this is the land I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to your descendants. Now he's speaking to Moses at this point. He says, I have let you see it with your own eyes, but you will not cross into it. Moses had disobeyed God, and God said, listen, you're gonna leave my people, but you're never gonna go into the land. But here, God's saying, listen, it's still my promise. You're not going to go into it, but I'm going to give it to someone else to take over and put them in the land. And so The land is a really big promise in the Old Testament. Sometimes in our family, we're kind of walking around and we're goofing off and we'll have an idea like, hey, maybe we should have ice cream tonight. And my wife and I were thinking, if we have time and we think about it, maybe we should have some ice cream. Our kids don't hear that as an idea or a brainstorm. They hear it as an honest to God truth, and we'll come through with no matter what happens, right? It's like it's etched in the Constitution. And they'll come to the night like, well, you said we're having ice cream. No, we just said maybe we should. Here's what I'm trying to say. With this, the promise of the land wasn't just a passing by promise of God. The absolute covenant that he made with Abraham was tied to it. And so this land is a massive piece as we move through the book of Joshua. Well, with great promise comes great responsibility. And he knows that, and he's speaking to Joshua. So I want us to read, this is where Joshua's about to feel the weight of all God's asking him to do, but he's gonna kind of help him go through it. So if you've ever heard any verse in the book of Joshua, this may be it. So this is Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, and listen to these strong, encouraging words he's speaking to a scared Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them in it as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instructions must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you read this, it's really clear that we see this thing repeat. And there's a clue when you're studying the Bible, when you see a repetition, you should pay attention to it. And here we see this, be strong and courageous, three different times. And he's making a command. What's interesting is in the original language, it's written in the command or what would be called the imperative sense. That it's like, no, you be strong and courageous. I'm commanding you to be strong and courageous. But he's not just commanding him to be strong and courageous. He also gives the why and how behind it, which is going to be super helpful for us. He's not just saying, toughen up, get it done. He's telling him why he can be strong and courageous. So let's plow through these. There's three of these. Be strong and courageous. And we're going to see the why and how behind it. The first one's verse six, be strong and courageous. For you will distribute the land I swore to your fathers to give them as an inheritance. So God's leaning in on Joshua. He's like, I know you're nervous. I know the fence has been removed and you're now really scared. You've seen me do a lot, but now you feel the pressure. It's on you. Be strong and courageous. I'm telling you, it's a command. Be strong and courageous. You have the responsibility. It's your job to take the 2.5 to 3.5, depending on who you listen to, Israelites across the river into the promised land. It's your responsibility. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to distribute all the land. But he's saying, but I know it's your responsibility. I'm telling you, be strong and courageous. But it's not based on your ability. It's based on my promise. Did you see it? We read all the way back in Genesis with Abraham. He's telling him, I will distribute the lands I swore to your fathers. What I said I would do to your fathers, I'm going to do through it. So you can be strong and courageous. You can trust my promise and you can be strong and courageous. Guys, this isn't just a cute story. I'm telling you, it took like 3 million people across a river, conquering other lands, and then distributing, like getting all 3 million people unified and splitting boundaries. Can you imagine how much chaos that would have been? He's like, you got to do it and be strong, but it's not on you. It's because of my promise. Let me just say something. If you're going to be strong and courageous, what we're commanded to do here, you must be standing on God's promise. You have to have God's promise. Because the strength and the courage isn't from you. The strength and the courage is coming from the promise of what God said he would already do. So he's just saying, be strong and courageous. It's like, be strong and courageous because I got this, Joshua. Next, verse 7, he says, above all, be strong. And he adds, very courageous. to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to observe everything written in it, for then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. He's telling him again, Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. Let's go. You've got this. It's my promise, but I'm telling you, be strong and courageous because what my word says. What I'm asking you to do. Here, you got to remember the history of this. Joshua had seen the people of Israel over Egypt. And so when he's saying, observe all that my servant Moses instructed, he's talking about those five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And so Joshua remembers this very well. Joshua remembers Moses being on Mount Sinai and receiving the Ten Commandments. Do you remember he was halfway up the mountain listening to him to the whole thing? But listen, even more, there's this story that we have to see between the Israelites and God. So when they pulled out into the wilderness, they're out and they're walking around. And right before the Ten Commandments, God said, do you want to be my people? Because if you want to be my people, you need to do what I'm asking you to do. And so this is how the people of Israel responded. Verse 19 or chapter 19 of Exodus says this. Then all the people responded together. We will do all the Lord has spoken. So Moses brought the people's words back to the Lord, and you see him in Exodus 20. He's like, Lord, these people want to follow you. And so Moses goes up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And do you guys remember what happened when he was up on the mountain and when he come back down? What are the people doing? They're worshiping a golden cow. They're like, we want to follow you, whatever you say, God. Joshua's up there with him. And then he comes back down. They're like, oh, yeah, about that. We prefer a golden cow. And Joshua's stuck in the middle of this. And he's going, oh, man, God. And then all through the rest of the book of Exodus, Moses goes back up. Remember, he throws the laws down. He goes back up and he gets them and he comes back down. And there's all this tension because the people didn't want to actually do what they said they would do. And now Joshua's sitting on the banks of the Jordan. And his responsibility is to make sure that 3 million people are following every word that God says, because that's when they will be successful. Can you imagine how much he needed that strong encouragement? Be strong and courageous. I can't imagine pastoring 3 million people. You guys drive me crazy enough. That's a joke. You guys are awesome. It's his job to make sure that 3 million people are following. He's like, but be strong and courageous, because if you'll follow God's word, you're going to be successful. It's going to work. And then I'll just dial that in. If you're going to be strong and courageous, you must have God's power, which is his word. His word says that you'll be successful. You'll see. And what's interesting is all of this about God's word still applies to us today. It still applies to us today. Look at what it says in this section. It says, observe, be very careful to observe God's word. Don't turn from the right or the left, which is just a metaphorical way of saying, go down the straight and narrow, do it. He says, talk about it. When you're walking around, talk about it. Observe and meditate on it. Let God's word, let God's way get inside of your body. So that's the reason we preach through the Bible, guys. That's the reason we give you free Bibles. It's the reason we're saying, hey, as you start the fallout, as everything kind of gets in sync for you and your families, start off with the Daily Road and let's read for the next couple of weeks together, because we want to stand on God's word. If you're going to be strong and courageous, you must have God's power, which is his word. If you're gonna be strong and courageous, you gotta stand on his word. And then look in verse nine, it says, haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Yeah, we heard it, God. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's leaning into Joshua again, saying, Joshua, be strong, be courageous. I know this is gonna be hard. I know it's a big river. You're gonna have to cross it. There's gonna be big battles. I know that they're really strong. Jericho is right there. I know it's scary. Be strong and courageous. And the reason is for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's remind ourselves of Joshua's history here. Joshua was a part of all of the Exodus events. Joshua was there when the people of Israel were led by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, and they would just walk wherever God was at. That's where they would go. He saw Moses when God was with him. He saw Moses when he was not. And he's making this promise. Hey, just like I led the people of Israel with a pillar of fire at night and smoke, I am going to lead you. I'm not going to leave you, Joshua. I know what I'm asking you is hard, but it's based on a promise. If you do my word, I promise it's going to go well for you. And I'm going to be with you, Joshua. Don't be afraid or discouraged. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And if you're going to be strong and courageous, you must have God's presence. You must have God's presence. You're like, Brent, that's a really good story about Joshua and the Jordan River. But I don't know if you know this, but I live in the 21st century in Ankeny or surrounding areas. I want to be inspired by Joshua, but man, there's things that I'm dealing with that I'm not sure what to do. They're really stressing me out. What am I supposed to do? I'm not Joshua. We're not living in the Abrahamic covenant, where there was this land that we were promised. So that's not the promise that's available to us. So what do you want me to do, Brent? What promise do you want me to follow? And listen, I know that Joshua was pretty awesome. He knew all the laws. He was halfway up the mountain when it was given. So clearly he had some importance there. He knew it all. And some of you are like, I don't even know hardly any of this. I don't know the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. So you want me to be strong and courageous? I don't even know God's word that well. And not only that, I don't know about you, but I don't have a pillar of fire at night to make all my decisions. My wife and I are trying to buy new flooring because our kitchen flooded with our dishwasher. It's dumb. I can't even make a decision on what color floor to put in my house, let alone real big life decisions. And if there would just be a pillar of fire, just follow me around, this is the way to go. Woo-hoo. So what does Joshua have to do with you? Has everything to do with you. Because the story of the scripture that started over here with Abraham and moved forward with Moses, then it goes to Joshua, then it goes to, actually we'll find out, it goes to Rahab, it goes to Ruth, it goes to David, and it goes all the way down to Jesus. And the promises that were promised to Abraham are what was the beginning of a promise. Listen, they are completed in Jesus. And so when we're told to be strong and courageous in the gospel, the promises get better. The power is more and the presence is even greater. Let me explain what I mean. For him, it was just that you would inherit the land. For us, we get such a better promise. This is 1 Peter 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. The promise he was leaning on is that one day you would get some land. Brothers and sisters, for those of us who claim Christ, we have an everlasting inheritance. It's unfading. It can't fall away. We will spend eternity with God. And while we may get nervous, we have this promise that will never fade away. We'll always have it. And even in the power through Christ, our power increases. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:16-17. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Do you see the first word on that? All scripture. Do you know what Joshua had? He had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Let's be honest. Genesis and Exodus, they're really cool to read. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they can be hard, okay? They can be hard to read. And that's all they had. That's the only law they had. For us today in Christ, we have the whole counsel of God. We have the words and life of Jesus. We have the wisdom of God in the Proverbs. We have the songs that we should be singing when our hearts are overjoyed or when they're sad. We have Paul, who gives us incredible instruction and doctrine and practical realities. We have more power because we have more scripture to stand on top of. And then we go forward and the presence is not just here and there. It's indwelling. Throughout the whole Testament, the Spirit of God would come on specific people for specific tasks for just a season. So we saw it. It would come on different people. It would come on Paul. It came on Saul, King Saul. For it came in the form of a pillar of fire and smoke in the Exodus. And here it's going to be on Joshua as he does his thing, but then it would eventually leave. For us who have believed in Christ, we get the Holy Spirit who indwells us forever. Listen to what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. This is in John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you." Verse 25 in chapter 14, just a little bit down, says, "I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." And so while Joshua was just hoping that the Spirit of God, the pillar, didn't leave, we actually can have the indwelling Holy Spirit who will guide us, and he'll never leave us, and he will remind us of the things that Jesus has said. Listen, you're not Joshua standing on the banks of the Jordan. You, if you are a believer in Christ, are a child of God who has a better promise, who has more power in the scripture, and has the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so when I'm telling you to be strong and courageous today, I'm telling you to be strong and courageous because of those things, not because of yourself. Be strong and courageous. The promise of the gospel is so strong. The scripture, how we know when we succeed and when we're not, is so clear. And the Spirit is indwelling us. And even in all that this morning, I have a concern as I preach all this. I have a deep concern that you'll take the command of this passage of be strong and courageous, and it's on many, many, many a Hobby Lobby hand-lettered sign, right? It's on many Instagram accounts. Be strong and courageous. It is fantastic advice, but I have a concern that you're going to hear it in the wrong way. You're going to forget the how and the why. Because this is the American way, isn't it? Americans, from the genesis of our history, are people who just get it done. We don't care. We're not paying your dumb taxes. We'll start a revolution. We'll be our own country. We'll figure it out. The way we say it today is, I got this. I got this. We actually have a narrative. It's the heroes in our culture are those who survive, and they live the American dream. Moved to this country, they had nothing. They worked hard, they applied themselves, and they became wealthy. I got this, I'm gonna do it. In fact, this is such our culture as Americans of just be strong, courageous, toughen up, put some dirt on it, let's go. Especially in football season. I feel like it's like inside of me a little stronger with football. Anyone else? Smash somebody. We actually have a phrase. Finish it with me if you know this. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. We all know it. Because that's the culture we live in. That's what Americans do. And honestly, I've used that phrase. What we mean by that is you didn't have anything and you succeeded without any help and you did it all by yourself. You ever had a three-year-old? I do it by myself. It's what we do. And it's a great phrase. I've used it and I've used it helpful, but it's actually practically impossible. So for your viewing pleasure this morning, I wore my boots. Do you like them? They're actually a really nice pair of boots. A Texan bought them for me because I think it's in the Constitution, like the something amendment, that you actually have to have a pair of boots if you live in Texas. That's a joke, but you didn't laugh. Okay, so I have these boots. I don't wear them very often, but when you pull yourself by your own bootstraps, I thought I'd give you an example, okay? So boots are fantastic, and you pull them up. Don't look at my legs. That's weird. Stop. I'm kidding. When you have boots, there's straps next to them. And So helpful. It's really hard to get your boots on without putting your fingers in your bootstraps and pulling your boots on. But I want you to look what it looks like when you try to make yourself go higher and higher by pulling your own bootstraps. It's impossible. You can't do it. There's nothing to stand on. All you do is look dumb. You can maybe try to turn it into a dance. I don't know. But you look foolish and you go nowhere. And here is what I'm trying to tell you this morning. My concern for you is that you're going to walk out of this sermon and you're going to hear, be strong and courageous. You got this. And tomorrow you're going to stand in front of your mirror and you go, be strong and courageous. You got this. You're awesome. And you're going to forget how you can be strong and courageous. Because when the diagnosis comes in and it's not like you want it to be, and there's bad news and there's brokenness all around you, and you're not sure exactly what to do, you are going to fail being strong and courageous at some point. But as a child of God, if you go, God, I don't understand what's happening right now, but here's what I know. Here's what I know, that no matter what happens on the earth, I have a promise that is kept in heaven for me. In this world, it may not go the way I want it to go, but I can be strong and courageous that one day I will be with you and all this stuff will be gone, and I can believe in that I will be eternally with you. And when the bank account goes low and you're frustrated and all you want to do is punch your boss in the face because he's a jerk or she's a jerk, and you're exhausted emotionally, it seems funny, but you're like, no, Brent, I'm there. I don't know how to do it anymore. And you're like, I don't even know what to do, because I can look in the mirror and say, be strong, be courageous, you can do this. I'm just telling you that's gonna fail. But if you will humble yourself, and maybe early in the morning or late at night when the house quiets down, you go, God, I don't know what to do here. I'm exhausted. The solution isn't easy. If you open your Bible and surrender yourself, God, I want to do everything that your scripture says to do. Help me. Show me. I don't know how to do that. I'm going to Google it. How to do this. I'm going to find a way, and I'm going to find where it is in scripture and say, God, I don't know how to do it, but I want to do it your way. I want to observe your ways. I want to do it. I don't want to turn from the right to the left, because I want to be prosperous. I want to be successful. And then there's going to be moments where you're at the end of your rope. The fence has been removed in whatever area that is hardest for you in your life. And you're gonna feel so alone. You feel like no one else is there for you. No one is with you. You don't know how to get out. The darkness is gonna overcome, and you need to remind yourself this morning that you can be strong and courageous because you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, whom Jesus has said he's given to all who believe. He will indwell everyone who believes. Forever, he is there to remind you of the words of Jesus. He's there to guide you through the thing. You say, God, I feel alone. Though I feel alone, I am not. The Spirit of God indwells me. And what I'm telling you this morning, I want you to hear me say this. Be strong and courageous. I have no clue what Jordan River God has got in front of you, but be strong and courageous. But don't be strong and courageous in yourself. Be strong in the better promise of the gospel. Be strong and courageous in the incredible power of God's word, and be strong and courageous in the indwelling Holy Spirit that will never leave you or forsake you. Would you bow your head? Before we pray, I just want to ask a question. What Jordan River are you facing? Is there a moment? Is there a decision? Is there a situation that's causing fear and anxiety in your life? Maybe you walked in here this morning and you're like, Brent, you have no clue. I think God's word is really clear. Be strong and courageous, but don't be strong and courageous on yourself or in the circumstances or maybe even in the outcome. But this morning, by the Spirit of God, God is calling you to be strong and courageous in the gospel. That God, that we have an inheritance that is eternal, that God's word is a lamp unto your feet, and that his Spirit will indwell you forever. And maybe you're like, Brent, I've never been to church, and I don't know that I even believe that. Man, if that's you this morning, You are a honored guest in this place. Because it's our deepest joy to have those conversations with brothers and sisters who are just trying to figure this all out. Spirit of God, would you come? Would you show us those areas that are fearful for us? But then would you help us to be strong and courageous, not in ourselves, but in you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.